Well, if you could open your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. While you are doing that, I do have a couple of things that I was asked to make mention of this morning. First is with our Christmas boxes that we've had in the back. Next Sunday, which I believe is the 16th, that is the last day for you to bring them back here to the church. So if we could aim by next Sunday, bring them back. As you notice, the ones that are done, we've been stacking on that left side. On that right side, there's still, I'm counting, four more left. So between the date to return them and the amount that's left, last chance. There's just a few left, so if the Lord so stirs, maybe you haven't grabbed one, or the Lord so moves your heart to grab an additional one, there's still a few left in the back. But by next Sunday, we'll want to bring them all back, and then they'll get distributed from there and sent off wherever the Lord wills. So look forward to hearing how the Lord uses those. As well, we are getting closer and closer. It'll definitely in a couple days feel more like we're close to Christmas, from what I understand. But it is coming soon, so we do have our Christmas Vacation Bible School on the 22nd and 23rd of December. I wanted to make note, though we've sent it out and mentioned it, in the past, the Christmas VBS has been in the afternoon because we had to kind of work around those last days of the school semester. But praise the Lord, they're out for that whole week. So we're actually going to have it in that normal summertime VBS, 9 to 11:30 a.m. So I just wanted to make mention. We'll try to remind maybe as we get a little closer again, just to help us kind of reset our clocks in our heads with that. As well, we have opened the registration for the Christmas Vacation Bible School. We have one child signed up so far. It's mine. Sorry. sorry, it gets you excited. But it is open now on the website, so if you have any questions about that, helping anybody to sign up, or if you need help to sign up, just let us know, and we'll help you with that regard. As well, I know as we get close to some of these times, different ones will usually ask us each year if there's things that can be helped with or picked up for the VBS. There is a new sign-up clipboard. It's joined all of the other clipboards in the back table, and it is for different food items that will be used during those 2 days. So if the Lord's put it on your heart, a desire to come alongside in that way, I believe there's one thing, Mark, that is going to be used on the work day coming up in a few weeks. Everything else we can bring that Sunday that we set up, which is the Sunday right before Christmas. So if you could look with me now in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I've been thinking this past week about different passages in Scripture that the Lord has just put on my heart through the years within the ministry that He's given me. And this particular chapter is one that really back from the time in which the Lord first began to burden my heart to even teach with the youth within the church. These first, I would say, about 10 verses or so kind of begin to give us a picture of different distractions and things that would begin to very easily creep in within the realm of the church to get us off focus of just proclaiming the gospel, teaching God's word, and watching the Spirit begin to work in that way. He begins to say that in later times in verse 1, there's going to be some who are going to fall away from the faith. He'll give it the name of deceitful spirits, doctrines of demons. Well, that would begin to be those things, and he'll begin to go through a list. He'll mention things like forbidding marriage and abstaining from foods. And what you're seeing in there is, first off, things that aren't biblical, and second off, those things that are of this world and tangible things. That's exactly what the evil one wants us to begin to do, is to get focused on everything else aside from him, aside from God and his word. And there's these warnings that these things are, if we allow them to begin to come in, begins to get the church off of where we should be focusing our time, what we should be making the center of our ministry. If you drop on down with me, it tells us in verse 12, this is a verse that, and some that have been with me in the youth through the years, this has been one that I've brought in a number of times in our studies together. Verse 12 says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." We would have a tendency to begin to elevate experience alone, or maybe being well-spoken, maybe being really knowledgeable on different things. But what it tells us is that it's really going to be that Christ-like character. Why is that so important? Well, because it is that Christ-like character beginning to be lived out, rather than a focus on all of these other factors that man would begin to elevate, that would begin to show real. One of the things Pastor Gary has taught us through the years is that the world is really good at entertainment, but what the church does that the world can't do is be real, and be genuine. And it was one of the very first things that God began to burden my heart for in teaching within the body, is that this not just be something that's a head knowledge, but it be real in our lives. My encouragement to the young people through the years has been, look, you may be young, you may feel insignificant within the body, and you don't have to be on the younger side, by the way, to feel insignificant within the body. But it is going to be you just walking with the Lord, honoring Him. That Christ-like character begins to reflect in your life. God begins to make you a light in that. And that our focus would be on being genuine and real, and not going down the road of knowledge beginning to make arrogant, but the road of love edifying. As the passage would go on, he mentions in verse 13, till I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Why does that begin to be so important? Well, as pastors, it's when we begin to proclaim God's word outwardly that you have decisions to make. You have a chance to begin to cause to consider for yourselves, am I desiring to really begin to live these things out in my life? And that's our calling and our responsibility as teachers, as pastors within the church. But he begins to go down in verse 14. He says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. One of the things that we know very clearly in God's word is he's given, if you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, the spirit of him begins to live in you. There's a particular way that he's gifted each one of you to be a necessary part of this body. The world would want us to get focused on all of the wrong things and begin to dismiss what God is doing. But God has given each one, no matter your age, no matter when you came to Christ, no matter what qualifications you feel like you have on a resume. In fact, Paul goes, I had a resume, and it was refuse compared to knowing Christ. So clearly those are not the things that God would have the church begin to elevate. And it'd be very easy for us to go, well, what part of the body am I? Well, if you've come to Christ and God's brought you here, you're a part of the body. There's a particular way, there's a ministry, and he says, don't neglect it, don't begin to disregard it, don't begin to set it to the side. He says, take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, that your progress will be evident to all. He finishes in verse 16, it says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. It's an interesting word, salvation. It obviously brings to mind our eternal salvation, but there's more to it than that. When I began to dig into the word, it brings up really a keeping safe from those harmful and destructive things that come about within our life. That we begin to proclaim God's word as a church, and you have decisions to make. Do I want to begin to live these things out? Do I want it to be real within my life? That's going to be a protection and a guard in your walk from those things that would come in that the evil one would want you to begin to get focused on, want you to begin to get discouraged on, that would begin to draw you away from why he has you here. And so as a church, as teachers, as pastors, it's why we keep focusing on God's word, not our opinions, not anything the world would want us to begin to elevate, but we proclaim his word because we believe that if you'll begin to live out the things that he says, you'll begin to listen to his spirit, it'll actually be protection for you in your walk. Those things that might otherwise cause you to stumble, God will begin to guard in your heart. He'll begin to strengthen you in that way. Pastor Gary was mentioning to us this morning about the church in India with Robinson and Molly. And Pastor Gary, I believe there's two different ones within their family have passed away in the last year,
yeah,
right?
Molly's younger brother passed away about a year ago.
Last November.
Neither of them were showing any signs being.
It was very sudden.
Sudden heart attacks.
Yeah. And, you know, what I've always appreciated in their heart, and even in that letter as they were sharing, we certainly as a church, first and foremost, we're praying for the Lord just to comfort and strengthen this brother and sister. And I know the Lord, there's several different ones that are ministering within the church with them now as well that I know have kind of come alongside.
Associates,
yeah.
Right.
So and
probably about six other families that we support.
But in addition to really just asking us to pray for that comfort and strength in this, one of the things that encouraged me is their desire to keep going and for the Lord to begin to equip and give a strengthening to keep ministering, to keep training these other men that are desiring to minister and serve within the body, and to strengthen their church body through this. That in the midst of loss, and we know that in addition to the loss, that there's great difficulty that comes with being in that region and proclaiming the gospel unapologetically. But their desire was to keep going. And so we'd ask as a body that we be praying for our brethren over there in this time. Just, you could hear the weight of the loss in this past year, but you could also hear the desire in the heart to press on and to not allow that light to begin to go out, even in the midst of what we know would be great heartbreak. And so there's just a great opportunity the Lord's given us in this time to come alongside them in that way. We were hearing even within that the Lord's been growing the church, where they're full,
yeah,
even in that.
And let me just mention too, the school, sometimes we don't really comprehend what the school is about. Mm-hmm. The school is actually to train pastors.
Yeah.
So in any given year, they'll be training 50 to 100 men in their work as pastors, because in and among the Sikh tribe, there really is no school or seminary that trains these men.
Yeah.
And so ours has been the only one in this particular area. And so just really be in prayer for that, because what we've seen is just so many pastors come through the school,
yeah,
and go on to minister in different ways.
Close to 20 years now, they said, right, that they've been ministering that way. So let's be in prayer for brethren and for one another within this body as well, that these things that the world, that the evil one would desire to begin to have come in and get us off course, would not do that. That we would stay focused on where we should be, those things that really matter, those things that are eternal, we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you today, I want to just thank you for just your faithfulness and your care. Lord, the strength that you bring, we realize how weak we are. We realize that the breath that we have is only because of a gift from you. Lord, that we need your strength. We need your encouragement. And we need your wisdom and direction as a church and as believers within our homes as well. Lord, we lift up Robinson and Molly in this time. Lord, we know that this has got to be just a time of great heartache. Lord, and we weep with our brother and sister. But Lord, I'm thankful that you've continued to keep them through these years. And Lord, we know that in the right way, you're going to strengthen and comfort in these days ahead. Lord, may we just not forget them in this time. They may be far away, but Lord, they're knit to us. And so Lord, we thank you for just your faithfulness through the years with that ministry and with us here. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.